a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that moves back.
Resurrected Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Well, folks, very interesting debate tonight. It didn't leave any dull moments. It was rather interesting. I think that the best point that Trump could have made was about jobs in America and the companies that have been chased out by this over progressive socialist engineering, making third world nations great again while destroying us from within. I think she called it the trumped up trickle down economics. Well, you can say whatever you'd like about Ronald Reagan. The one thing that he had right was the cutting of taxes and the incentivizing of corporations to not only not leave, but companies that leave, making it harder for them to leave the country and then export their goods into the country after they take the benefit of leaving the country. I do agree wholeheartedly with that strategy. It's always been a wiser strategy to incentivize businesses to stay. However, the question was asked, do I think that his campaign staff instructed him to handle her with more kid gloves? I believe from listening to his performance and holding back on something that he greatly wanted to expose, that he said would not be very nice, and he thought about it. Yes, I do believe that there are people telling him that attacking certain aspects of Hillary Clinton will somehow either hurt him in the mainstream media to the point where it'll cause maybe more effort than is justifiable. I don't know. Me personally, I'd go for the juggler. That's my outlook. I would have brought up the Clinton Foundation. I don't hear any talk about Uranium One or the dealings with the Clinton Foundation and the Russians, as she wanted to point the fingers to the Russians being behind everything and behind every little rock. We have more callers on the line.
Yeah, if I could just add to that real quick, I just think you're absolutely right. There was so many opportunities missed, not just the Uranium One, but when he talks about his business acumen, if you will, or starting off with a loan and growing it to multiple billions of dollars and blah, blah, blah. He's right that America has to think like that again, like it's a possibility again. And then to expose the fact that they've been on the government's the taxpayers' salary, they've been getting paid by the government for all these years, and all of a sudden they're worth $200 million. How does that happen? How does that happen that these people are worth so much money? So there's so many opportunities he had. I don't know why he held back. It almost seemed like he was overwhelmed with facts jumbling around in his head, and he didn't know which ones to spit out at what time. I don't know what it was, but I was really disappointed. There's so many. Here's the deal. She needs to go to prison, and he's the only way unfortunately, right now in our current system, getting him elected would be the closest chance we have to her going to prison.
I agree that it would be the closest chance.
Yeah.
However, there's something that tells me, and you know, maybe I'm wrong, but there's something that tells me that no matter whether he gets elected or not, I think that the Teflon still has not worn off of this this criminal conspiracist. You know, even to the birther thing, when they mentioned that, you know, it was Hillary that actually fanned the flames of that first.
Yeah.
And somehow she got to stain him with being a birther. My God, the hypocrisy was so thick. I almost choked and coughed for her as many times as she's done so herself.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, we have to get into a couple callers. I do have Dave in Nevada. Dave.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have to agree with you there, Tom, on the stop and frisk policy of Donald Trump. I've had a serious problem with that whole issue from the get-go. And what I believe is that regardless of whether Clinton or Trump get into office, they're both police states, both of them. That's no, yeah. There's no question about it. And when you're talking about stop and frisk, you're basically asking low IQ people to exercise their judgment. You don't want that.
No, I agree. And in New York, especially, I can what you just said that might be offensive to some people. I want to explain. When we say low IQ people, we're not attacking police everywhere for their intelligence. These administrations have specifically engaged in hiring practices that have kept people only up to a certain IQ. The reason that they gave, and they got away with this was challenged in court, and it was upheld that they had the right to do this. I don't understand how we can have racial discrimination, but we can have intellect discrimination. They actually found that hiring officers with, I think it was above 104, 105 IQ, they found that the officers moved on to other jobs, and therefore the money that the cities would put out for training were sometimes wasted. Well, it's my position that law enforcement isn't that kind of the whole idea, is that you move up and move towards higher positions from the level of street cop. Those who are that have the intellect rise into positions that requires a higher intellect. Well, now within 10 or 12 years, you take those street cops who are going to be the ones ascending in the ranks, and pretty soon you're going to have the brass, all of the highest brass in the police department, all of the leadership are going to be reduced to a bunch of thuggish yes men. And that is what I believe you're talking about when you say, leaving this to folks that are incapacitated in their intellectual ability and comprehension as to constitutional law. These folks can't make certain decisions, not because law enforcement officers aren't capable, but because they're deliberately hiring people that are dumbed down.
I thought that they swore an oath to protect and defend statute.
Well, here's the real problem I see with stop and frisk is that it's putting two parties into a very vague, cloudy situation. That's what I mean.
Yes.
And it's not so much the low IQ thing. It's just you're pitting two groups that are unknown to each other in a situation like that. And that almost always results in something that's not good. That's what I don't like in stop and frisk. And the other problem I have, I don't know what you guys think, but I'm not a big fan of the FOP, the Fraternal Order of the Police. And Donald Trump is, and he's always pushing that issue. If you know a little bit about the history of the FOP with the regards to Robert F. Kennedy, they called Robert F. Kennedy sinister. because he was trying to exercise, or he's trying to build a community watchdog group to watch the basically kind of be a watchdog against the police, and they did not like that.
Well, you know, again, they are essentially a union, and I have had. Look, in some respects, I understand the need for having advocacy for people who are working in the situation where you have large corporations. However, we're talking about government employees. Unions right. are overtly communist to begin with, and people have to understand the whole concept of the Marxist, the working class, the workers of the world unite. A lot of the funding that has been pumped into unions over the years has come from progressive groups of communist origins. And just like, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day when he was talking to me about zoning in his town. And I said, you know, zoning is another one of those communist concepts. Taking your property, telling you what you can do with your own property, means that it's not really private property, you know, and that is what one of the goals of the communists are to destroy private property ownership and to weaken and to strengthen government above your own rights. So people don't understand that they've been inundated with these communist concepts, and then we wonder, you know, why we have problems with them. I feel the same way about the FOP, as, you know, I think sometimes ironic it is that I see American workers in their, you know, the steel workers union with, you know, wearing their hats with big American flags on them, realizing, you know, you wonder why these unions are so corrupt. Look at the origins. Just look back in history at the origins of who funded these movements and then who ends up taking control of them. And you'll see a whole rabbit hole that you start going down and realizing that unions aren't quite the greatest idea. That, I mean, look at what unions have done to education. A teacher can all but rape a child, and you can hardly fire them because of unions. So I'm not really a big fan of unions in any sort. So especially a government organization, the government itself, when it starts to need unions for its own employees, you got real problems. And that's exactly what the FOP really is, in my opinion.
Right, right. Yeah, so anyways, I just wanted to bring up that issue, or both of those issues, because I really feel that in either case, whether it's Clinton or Trump, we're going to have that police state. We already have it, but what I'm saying is that it will be intact.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it'll go away under Trump, is what you're saying.
No, it's not going to go away, because Donald Trump's not going to get stopped and frisked. Hillary's not going to get stopped at first. It's going to be you or me.
Yeah.
You see, that's the way the game works. So anyways, I'll leave it at that.
It gives you a whole other perspective for the concealed carry permits, too. What happens every time a cop, you know, stops somebody and searches them and comes across a gun, it becomes a potential volatile, life-threatening situation, even when you are a lawful permit holder, which I don't agree with permits either. My permit is God. God gave me my rights to be able to defend myself in any reasonable manner that I can find to do so. So, again, you have another problem, a compounded problem. You know, stop and frisk was in New York City. But the way it was spoken about tonight, it was like, you know, and in past comments, is that this is something that he wants to spread across the nation. Well, you start seeing it in New York, you're going to end up getting it down into your hometown. And you start getting it down into your hometown, people who those concealed carry permits aren't going to be worth the paper they're written on when you're dead. And that's what's happening with a lot of these officers when they come across a gun. I don't know whether it's in their training, what they're being taught, or who's training them. But it's like, you know, you come across a gun, and all of a sudden, it's like the gun can hop out of a belt or hop out of a glove compartment and stand up on its own and make a decision to shoot on its own. And back in the day when my stepfather was a cop, even if you came across somebody that had a gun, you didn't fire upon them unless they made a move to point the thing at you and do you harm. And now sure. You see people that are getting blown away for reaching for their wallet. So, I mean, we have a mentality, a police state mentality. And I happen to agree that I don't see that changing either way.
It's not going to change. That's why I'm a much bigger fan of, instead of conceal, open carry is a much better idea overall. It's just much more efficient. It works better, 10 times better.
Well, I don't believe in the restriction of denying people the right to conceal and carry if they so choose. But I would choose, if I were to say, well, government, step back. You know, this isn't something where you have the right to be in. But me, my own personal choice is open carry, only because, you know, I think that a gun is a better deterrent when people know that you have it. It kind of keeps. I remember one old cowboy told me is that guns keep men. What did he say? Respectable amongst one another.
Right. Right. You know, well, the reason why I bring that up is because I think the problem with concealed carry is that if a cop sees that you have some concealed permit and they don't see the gun, they're going to say, "Where's your gun?" That's what they're.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What they're, that's, yeah. You see what I'm saying? And then their mind starts running.
Too. Yes, that's another problem, too. It's almost like when you tell them you don't have it, they don't believe you. And it's like, really, to be honest with you, it's none of your freaking business whether I have it or whether I don't have it. If I'm just. Everybody should be allowed. First of all, everyone is allowed. Government does not have the authority to tell people that they cannot defend themselves and to do so with guns. They don't
Shall
have
not
the
be
authority to issue permits to begin with.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the problem.
Shall not be infringed.
Yes. This is part of a psychological operation that I see on so many of my friends. Who I hear, oh, well, we're going to go get the, you know, concealed carry permit because we're law-abiding citizens. And I have to say to them, I love you with all my heart. You know, I respect the decisions that you make for yourself. I hope that you're happy being a good communist citizen because that's what you are. That's what you are when you go and get those permission slips from an authoritarian regime that believes they have a power that they do not have. You are essentially condoning and agreeing to that constitutional usurpation and then playing along with it.
Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
Amen.
And it's an unjust power that you're consenting to.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
And ultimately, if you consent to it, guess what? I have no right or authority to undermine your free will. However, what this does is every single person that goes and gets a concealed carry permit, every single person that moves in that direction, you are directly enabling and empowering government with the belief and the security that they have in their minds, that they have such an authority over everyone, and you were then robbed from me my ability to take a righteous stand. So, in a way, you know, I say I respect my friends only because I've seen them being programmed and brained for so long that I can understand why they think the way they think. I don't agree with it. Ultimately, I try and talk sense into them over it. But, you know, I almost think sometimes that argument is I hate to say a losing battle because I don't like to give up. But I see a lot of people caving to it.
Sure. Absolutely. So, anyways, I just wanted to muse on that situation with the in conjunction with the debates, and I'll just leave you guys with that. But thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. And anybody else who would like to call, feel free to call in. We're here, and we'd be more than happy to take your call. Now, Jason, there is something else that was brought up, was ISIS. And, you know, Donald Trump did turn around and take a swing and basically said, well, you know, you've had 30 years, you know, to deal with ISIS and the likes of ISIS. Of course, not just ISIS, but I'm of course he meant Al-Qaeda and the like. You know, we see, again, an administration that has empowered, enabled, and even armed. And I'm not talking about the Democrats. They're both sides, the neocon Trotskyites, as well as the progressive, more overt Marxists, both sides of the aisle, have seen to it that these insane, heart-eating, twisted extremists that were born out of the Mujahideen. We have videos and pictures of them driving brand new United States military armored vehicles, pulling howitzers. We have photographs of some of the ISIS fighters there was a C-130 airdrop. And they have, like, you know, I don't know whether they got in trouble by their leaders for doing this, but taking photographs of them smiling with this huge pallet that was dropped off of a C-130 loaded with ammunition. I don't believe in coincidences anymore when I see convoys of our equipment.
What's it going to take to learn the lesson? I mean, time and time again, you know, they believe we can build alliances and we're going to, well, you know, we're just going to be allies in just this one little battle here and or just this one little front. And they arm yeah. some group and it comes back to bite us time and time and time again. When are we going to learn?
No, it's, you know, we started to learn with the Syrian situation, and a lot of people finally said no to Obama. You know, you notice how when he wanted to really go in and everybody had said, no.
We don't need another war like that. I mean, look back in the day with the didn't we help we funded Saddam when he was fighting Iran?
Yeah. Yeah, we built up his whole infrastructure. Sure. And you know, let's look at Afghanistan for a moment. Let's look at Afghanistan for just a moment. We have also videotapes and mainstream news clips, even Geraldo Rivera standing in the middle of the opium fields with U.S. Marines protecting opium poppy fields.
Right.
And the reason that their commander said, "Well, you know, we're gaining the hearts and minds and winning the support of the locals and." You know, if we destroy their number one cash crop, then, you know, we'll create a bet. This, I don't know which CIA official chose that specific individual to speak as a representative on behalf of the U.S. military, but, you know, good job there.
Yeah.
We have a war on drugs being waged in the streets here. We have law enforcement that essentially should really be peace officers and not be engaged in any kind of a war on our streets. I know that a lot of conservatives have a real hard time with the legalization of drugs. I just want to throw it out there that one of the main substances which they have banned and have been banning for many, many, many decades is one of which the founders themselves built their fortunes upon, which is hemp. Thomas Jefferson said that there was nothing he enjoyed more in the evening than retiring to the porch at Monticello and smoking a sweet bowl of hemp.
Wow.
It never made him want to raise an army and travel through the countryside.
It's just a gateway. You know all the other stuff, right?
Well, sure, it's a gateway, but at some point,
everything's a gateway. Are you kidding me?
Well, But at some point, at what point do we say that each individual has the right to do whatever they want in the confines of their own home as long as it harms no other person? Look at what we did with Prohibition. When we prohibited alcohol, we gave rise to the likes of Al Capone. Now, I'm not talking about legalizing cocaine so that, you know, people can just, you know, willy-nilly, snort lines in clubs. I'm not talking about that. But at the same time, if you're going to have war on drugs, if you're going to ban a substance like heroin, if you take your military and you position them in places where they're protecting the crops that end up, this is the origin point of the heroin that's flooding the streets, only to then again being problem creation solution, you're protecting it there instead of using your bombs and your missiles and your troops to lay waste to the poppy fields. You're protecting the poppy fields and then commencing a war on drugs within our borders.
Yeah.
Is it just me that sees the insanity in that?
You're absolutely right. And it's like they want to take our guns, but yet they're running guns through Libya or they're Fast and Furious into Mexico. And it's like, give me a break. I mean, hypocrisy.
There was another hit that Trump missed tonight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's touting all of her special accomplishments and her stamina. I would have said, hey, lady, where was your stamina the night that you could have made a call and saved four Americans?
Where was your stamina on 9/11? I mean, imagine if 9/11 wasn't actually 9/11 this time. Instead, it was a ceremony in 78 degrees in New York. Where was your stamina then?
Oh, my God. Yeah, right? Yeah. And he didn't say that either. And she's touting this great stamina. They had to carry you to your SUV.
Yeah.
To the point where the alternative media erupted in this slurry of speculation. They thought that she had actually gotten arrested by the way that they grabbed her and loaded her in the SUV. It made it look as though, because she fell face first and they had her by the arms and they had to cart her into the SUV, it literally looked like she was doing the perp walk. Of course, it wasn't a perp walk. It was you know, she had just... She'd worn out. Many, many missed opportunities.
Absolutely. You know, when you talk about this stop and frisk in these inner cities and this kind of, you know what the issue is? The real issue is font size. I think on all gun-free zone signs, the biggest problem is the font isn't big enough. That's what the issue is. If we just had a larger font across the country, people would read the signs, and then they would know in that area you're not allowed to bring guns. Or if you believe in those signs, why don't they put murder-free zone?
Yeah, that'll take care of murder. It'll end it.
Yep. Yeah.
Folks, we'll be back with a few words from our sponsors. Resurrect Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, Tom Malak, Barrett Stewart, and Jason Hoyt.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Are you tired of brown rust stains on your toilets, sinks, and clothes? Does your water smell and taste bad? Don't live with these problems anymore. HydroCare's revolutionary well water systems, available at Wave Home Solutions, gives you clean, healthy, great-tasting water from every faucet. They remove iron, hydrogen sulfide, sediment, and many other contaminants that are distasteful and damaging your fixtures. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
In the midnight, in the midnight, all I see is thirsty brown. Yeah.
Many missed opportunities there were, but I don't think it's all over. I mean, certainly, I'm sure that all of you out there, I'm sure you can't think of a better president that we could possibly have than Hillary the criminal Clinton. Anyway, we have another caller on the line. Jonathan in Kentucky. Jonathan, go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I just listened to it through RBN. You guys had it going on, and man, to be honest with you, I've called in the station before, and you guys are well aware that I'm a veteran. And, man, it's just, I'm just getting sick of this whole savior mindset that, you know, there's always somebody else to solve the problems for us instead of us doing it ourselves.
Yep.
And, you know, I the only weapon of mass destruction that I experienced in Iraq when I was there was the U.S. military. It's just, this whole show is just a big, it's just a big scam, dude. I mean, he didn't touch anything about Chicago and how there's, you know, the gun laws there are so strict. He didn't even touch that at all. That bothered me.
Nope.
And then with him saying about the whole terrorist list, and it's like, well, who are they going to label as such? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Who gets to define the list?
Jason, you want to say something on that?
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, you're right. I mean, so who's going to define the list? I mean,
yeah,
yeah, without any due process whatsoever. No due process.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then he says, well, if there's a mistake, we'll make a correction after the fact. I'm like, dude, yeah. they're going to be doing the same type of anti-gun thing probably, just like all the other enforcers of Satan have been doing, man. I mean, come on, dude. He doesn't know what it's like to be an average American. He's a billionaire. You know what I mean? And to make it to that level, you know you got to be connected with some type of dark bloodline. I know it sounds kind of weird and off the top, but you don't make it to that level unless you're playing with the devil, dude. And I just, I know it sounds weird, but it's the truth, man. It's just sickening. It's just, you know, even if there's this whole weird Obama third term thing, I mean, honestly, whatever bad things happen in this nation, we've become so disconnected with being in touch with this planet and humanity. Honestly, I mean, don't you guys think sometimes that maybe suffering is the only way that's really going to pull people out of this to wake up? I don't want it to come to that, but what else have we got?
Well, I can't really disagree with you there. And first of all, I respect your opinion more than most because you've actually served and you've gotten to see what goes on the inside. And like all veterans, I thank you for your service, not for where they sent you and what they did and the decisions that they made, but for your specific service, I thank you.
Well, man, we all make this wheel turn in life, dude, but come on, man. Just like Mark Passio said, I was just a pet, just like all the other guys. Right? We had war dog tags.
But that wasn't your intention, was it?
Huh?
That wasn't your intention. It wasn't your intention to be.
No, it wasn't. I really fell into the whole there's a boogeyman thing, but come on, dude. You can't expect to go free a nation when you come there with weapons.
Right.
It's impossible. You know what I mean? And then the hypocritical part is I could carry all those weapons in a foreign nation and rape and pillage those people's ways of life and then turn them in and come back home and can't even have them on base. Can't even have a loaded weapon on base. Except for the military police, but yet again, gotta stimulate the whole police. Police are in charge, even when you're in a military base. There's military police, you know. It's just, and this whole law enforcement thing. I mean, come on, just the name, the saying alone, law created by man, enforcement. It's just ridiculous in itself.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with you. I really can't. I wish I could. I wish I could.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is I want to tell you guys, if you guys are gun guys and like to go practice, you really need to get some training, man. I don't know how much time we got left, but if you guys need to get some training, I recommend a place called Valor Ridge out in Harrogate, Tennessee. The instructor is Reed Hendricks. He's a very patriotic and like-minded. I've talked to him on the side, and he doesn't buy into either side that's going on right now, man. And I know the prices are expensive for training, dude, but if your life is priceless, especially defend your friends and family, and I would really highly recommend you guys to get some training, man. Whatever.
Well,
you
why
can,
you know. Have him? Why don't you have him reach out to me, and we'll have him on the show?
Sure, I'd love to do that. If he's not busy, I can do that. I'm actually volunteering for free. I'm trying to teach people how to do patrolling because everybody wants to go shoot, which is cool, but no one wants to practice actually gearing up and carrying the damn weapon all day because. It's one thing to be at the range and then you can sit down and drink water. It's another thing when you got to hump that rifle all day. You know, you think 10 pounds on a rifle ain't bad, but when you got to hump it for 10 miles, it doesn't get fun.
We have money.
You know?
Yep.
So, yeah, you guys...
Yeah, I agree with you, and you can reach me through rtrtruthmedia@gmail.com, and feel free to do so. We would love to hear from them.
Okay. Now, is your email on the RBN website?
It's on my site, resurrectorepublic.com, but you could call into RBN, and anyone there can give it to you if you don't have something to write with. Feel free to call into RBN, the office, and they'll give you my email. And matter of fact, you can leave a message for me there, too.
All right, will do, brother. All right, I'll let some other callers get in, man. I'll quit venting. But just remember, if you get an AR, keep your mags loaded at 28 rounds. Keep one in the chamber, and you'll be good to go.
Thank you.
Y'all...
Now that's,
take it easy.
That's the kind of advice we need. Okay, we have another caller on the line. However, I want to get to an audio from the first debate, and for those that may have missed some of that debate, can you roll that clip?
You are not a man. You are a big fat joke.
I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn. That's what kind of man I am. You're just a woman with a small brain, with a brain a third the size of us. It's science.
I will have you know that I have more talent and more intelligence in my little finger than you do in your entire body, sir.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
You look like a blueberry.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
Well, you have bad hair.
What did you say?
I said, your hair looks stupid.
Let him work it out!
It's between the two of them!
I love it.
Just talking. I hate you.
I hate you more.
Complicate, folks.
Well, this has been a lot of fun.
That was a recap from the debate, definitely.
Oh, that's just too perfect. John in Idaho. John in Idaho, you're up.
That was funny. I'm telling you what, man. That short clip had 1,000 times more entertainment value than that entire debate. I sure hope that freaking debate is not a sign of things to come with Trump, because even if he does get elected, I was so disappointed at so many levels. I actually thought Hillary did a lot better than I thought she was going to. And a lot of the points, I thought she won a lot of the points, you know. But anyway, I mean, you guys have talked a lot about what he missed on, and you know, the opportunities missed. It's just countless the opportunities missed. It's like he was trying to be too nice, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but it also he seemed like he was thirsty the whole debate. You know how somebody starts to sound when they get really thirsty, or the voice starts getting, I don't know, kind of weird, but. Yeah, he just seemed like he was thirsty, and he just, like, he came in overconfident and then underperformed, you know? And,
yes.
It's almost like he might have psyched himself out or something. I don't know.
But, maybe. False sense of security, I have, you know, I hate to develop these conspiratorial opinions, but I have to go back to the fact that, you know, the Clintons and Trump, they were pretty good friends. For a while there, just food for thought, folks. You know, a lot of this I'm wondering, is it bread and circus? I don't know.
Well,
I see a huge divide being ripped in half, this country being ripped in half. I could have done better in this debate tonight. I'm just going to put it out there, man.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. You definitely could have done better. I think you'd do a lot better as president, too. But
we wouldn't have a blue state, and I'd probably be dead in the first 3 weeks, but I'd try like hell to dismantle let's see, where would I start? Oh my God, wait a minute. This is a good, that's a good topic. If I were president,
yeah, it is.
The first thing that would disappear would have to be the CIA, then the Department of Homeland Security, then the TSA, all trade pacts and agreements that eroded our national security and what's best for the country. I would drop the tax rate to about 10%, the corporate tax rate, bring businesses flooding back into the country again. Anybody who chose to leave the country would have to pay a special tax to sell their goods inside the country. All Marxist terminology, expressions, would be viewed not as First Amendment free speech, but as subversive ideology, which they are, destroying the fabric of the nation, and I could go on from there.
And you do it all with one executive order.
Yep, follow the Constitution.
I've always postulated the theory that what if we, you know, took if the liberty folks and the Constitution loving folks took over a portion of this nation, and then we just put it out there. Everybody had to decide, or we split the nation 50-50. It's like, okay, on this half, we're going to go back to the original Constitution and total liberty and blah, blah, blah. And on this half, it can be all the globalists and all the freaking, you know, Obama-lovers and Hillary-lovers and all their ilk and all that. And so,
you mean a communist-free zone?
Yeah, and so you just divide the country in two, and then you confront all the people on the left and say, okay, now, can you imagine what your side of the country is going to look like in 5 years? And imagine what our side of the country is going to look like in 5 years. In five
yeah,
years from now, we're going to
like
be prosperous and safe, and yeah, this is, and you're going to, yeah, your entire half of the country is going to be a macronism of Detroit.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean, and I seriously think that sometimes the only solution that we have beyond what some of the people are currently developing is to just start off with one county in this country and just completely take it over and migrate out from there and just, you know.
Yes.
Just split it up, man. I mean, we're never going to have a meeting of the minds or anything like that. There's always going to be two completely different ideologies in this country. And, you know, we're just so far gone at this point.
I do believe that what we see with, say, the social justice warriors and the neo-Marxists, they are going so full bore over the top that many people, even among their own political parties and establishments, are starting to sit back and go, whoa, wait a minute. Now, of course, I have a theory about this, and my theory is might be slightly controversial, but you have the Marxists being so ridiculous that some of the people that are most popularized in standing up against these folks, let's look at A number one, one of the contributors to Breitbart, Milo Yiannopoulos, which he calls Donald Trump daddy. He's a flamboyant homosexual, and look, I have gay people in my own family. I don't hate them, okay? I wouldn't want them to wear a feather boa and march in the middle of the street during a parade, but I don't hate them for either being, you know, whatever it is that they are. I'm not that, okay? So I don't have to live with them. My confines in my own home, I live the way I want. But the point that I'm trying to make is that his tour is called the Dangerous Faggot Tour. This is who we have standing up for conservatism in America. They're pushing it so far beyond sensible that the only people that we have gaining the most traction and standing up for American values are British homosexuals. We've got some problems.
But you know what it is? Because on the side of it, he has that name on the side of his bus. And you know what it is? It's in large font. I'm telling you, there's a large font thing going on that we need. If you want attention, if you want it to stick, you got to have a large font. But I mean, that's why Bernie, that's why the Clintons allowed Bernie Sanders to run. That's awesome. That's why they allowed Bernie Sanders to run, because he was a admitted socialist. She just doesn't admit that she's a socialist, but he was an admitted socialist, and he sounded so crazy to make her sound moderate.
Yes, exactly my point. Yeah, that's exactly point. What's going on. Oh my Lord, that is exactly what's going on. It's devious.
Yeah,
it's brilliant, but it's devious.
Where does it leave us if Milo's our mouthpiece?
You're saying Milo and mouthpiece in the same sentence. I would watch that.
I don't know if you can say that.
Look, I have nothing against Milo Yiannopoulos. I have nothing against people who have alternative lifestyles. And I agree with a lot of what he says, which is what ultimately it kind of... You know, deep down, it kind of bothers me because, look, conservative values are not about promoting what you do in your bedroom. And when you give talks in front of university students wearing a choke chain and a police costume with the little badge and wearing pearls, and you're standing up for conservative America, I have to ask myself where conservative America has gone.
Right, they're too conservative to speak up like that to get noticed. I mean, there's so much noise out there, and unfortunately, we are a soundbite driven. We have to be entertained. Pretty colors on the screen, moving fast. We have to, that's what gets our attention. And some guy in a suit who speaks facts and figures and economics and consequences of policies, and that's not going to get noticed.
No, I guess you're right. You know. I was amazed when Ron Paul ran, just how much traction he got. I don't think that they expected him to get as much traction as he did. And I think ultimately that really kind of scared a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
He did at least.
Oh, he was packing out the stadiums and auditoriums and all the colleges and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with young people too.
Yeah.
It was electric. I mean, he'd come out and he was, good old dry Ron Paul, but man, the crowds were just electric. It was unbelievable. I was just amazed, and compare that to
saying amazing things and standing against here's another thing that drives me crazy about American politicians. Anybody who's read the Communist Manifesto knows that one of the main tenets of bringing a nation to communism is a central banking system. We literally had the Federal Reserve is a communist central banking scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme. And every single honest politician that exists, if they do, they stand up against the Fed, and what happens to them? Look at Jim Traficant. Look at Ron Paul with the voting fraud right out of New Hampshire. We haven't had a real election. This is why I think, we're talking about Trump and Clinton more or less because of the hypocrisy of it, the overt hypocrisy of it. Ultimately, I believe that whoever is going to be our next president has already been determined. I don't think that we make that. First of all, certainly don't make the choice of who we get to choose from. That's controlled from the get. But I don't think that voting makes a damn bit of difference as to who's going to be the next president. I think that that's already been determined. And to override that I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, the only mystery or anticipation is wondering who did they decide they were going to make president? Did they decide they were going to make Trump or Hillary? Yeah, who'd they choose? The big reveal's coming on November 8th. We're going to have a reveal party. We're going to reveal who we chose as president.
And it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if what he did tonight is any indication of what he'll do if he becomes president, and I think that's what it is. I think, you know, tonight and the little things he said, and reveal. You know, especially that part about, you know, freaking being if you're on the you know, the no-fly list, you should be on the no-buy list. That's off the charts. That's just total tyranny, and he's in support of it. I mean, and so I think he lost so much of, you know, between the missed opportunity, which was probably a purpose, and then the little indications of the things, and he said these things throughout his campaign, too. He talks a good talk, and boy, I want like nobody's business that he does the right things, but I don't think my just common sense and my better judgment says the same kind of disappointment that we had in the debate tonight is the disappointment we're going to experience over its presidency. We're going to go, it was total bread and circuses. That whole campaign and that whole thing was just a bunch of nonsense, BS, and they just fooled us again.
And you know what else struck me when he had mentioned how much money she had spent on ads, $200 million on campaign ads, while we are trillions of dollars in debt, and she's talking about more socialized programs and bringing jobs, creating jobs in America. Oh, yeah, you create jobs, all right. You stupid whore. Unbelievable.
$200 million, that is, yep.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned the Fed, and actually I was surprised Trump did call out the Fed. He called them out, and he said that they've done a worse job than Hillary has. And do you remember him saying that during the debate?
I do.
And there's actually a link on Drudge about halfway down. It's got a picture of Janet Yellen. It says, "Fed on ropes as Yellen seeks to fend off Trump blows." So, it's interesting.
Well, maybe there's some hope after all. I don't want to be all negative, folks. I'm hoping for a conservative mindset for America. But ultimately, I think that we're going to take things back locally and with the power of the people from your own backyard, from your own towns, your own cities, your own counties.
Yep.
That's where it's going to happen. All right, folks, we've run out of time. Thank you, Jason, for joining. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast. Go to resurrectrepublic.com. Click on that PayPal. Donate and contribute to the effort. We'll see you next time.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.